Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome the core of the restoration team and the A26 crews. There's that tri-motor. To start, if you look to your far right, the gentleman here with me, J.R. Hoffman, is on your far right. He's the head of the restoration team on the Special K. He's an Air Force vet. His civilian career, however, he's an expert on maintenance and engineering, including working for Boeing. And he's got a team here. How many members of the team are here?
All here.
All of them.
Next, J.R., Scott Carlson. Air Force veteran, was in Southeast Asia 66 and 67 as an armament guy and crew chief. As a civilian, worked for Boeing for over 37 years, and his last position was as president of the Commercial Aircraft Division and executive vice president of the Boeing Corporation. That's Scott Carlson. Bruce Gustafson, 23 years active duty Air Force, retired as a major, commanded at many levels. For 50 years of his safe flying, he has received the FAA's most prestigious honor, and that was in 2014. He received the Wright Brothers Master Pilot Award. He has flown 70 types of aircraft and has 8,000 civilian hours as a pilot. That's Bruce Gustafson.
How about that?
How about that?
And next to me, Air Force retired Colonel Tim Black, 25 years active, more than 6,300 pilot hours, 1,610 of those in combat, received the Silver Star, the DFC, the Air Medal with 5 clusters, many more significant citations. This is Colonel Tim Black. Scott, please start us off. Why is this important for you all to be here, for the planes to be restored and telling these stories? Why is it important?
Well, you know, this all happened over 50 years ago, and we remember the hardware, but it was really the people in our lives that touched us during that time that made a difference. The exciting thing for us is we had these guys in Seattle a month ago as part of a welcome home ceremony for Vietnam era veterans. We had over 100 veterans, about a dozen former POWs or Medal of Honor winners, and it touched them to see the hardware and bring back those memories, but more important, to be welcomed home by everyone. That's the mission of this airplane, is bring these guys home, let them emotionally return, close their life off at this point, be happy with where we are. The hardware is an important part of doing that, in my opinion.
Tim, why is it important for people to hear these stories from all of you who actually lived these experiences in terms of education? Why is this important?
I think history is important. We need to live and relive what has happened to our country in the past. And if we don't think about that and recognize and honor those who went before us, you know, we're going to lose something. It's very important to keep history alive, and that's why we do what we do with all these warbirds, is trying to keep the general public and anybody who has an opportunity these days to come up close and see these airplanes and see them and see them fly. And they're not just sitting on a pedestal or a static display somewhere. It really makes a difference when you see them flying and you can get up close and personal and fly on a lot of them. And so I think it's very important that we keep the people who went before us in mind, and we pass this on to our present generation and future generations.
JR, you're the master restorer, man. Everybody is telling me that today, that you're the guy who's led the team to restore this airplane. Tell me about the process.
Well, it started out with doing an assessment of the aircraft, and it was in pretty sad shape, and figure out what we had to do and put a strategic plan in place. And then team members just started coming together. This crew out here, been a total of 65 people, and this is the core crew right here. And we've got talents from all walks of life, you know, from avionics to structures to general maintenance to engines. And that's what it took. And then we just took it one step at a time. And like I say, we tended to turn anthills into mountains, but we wanted to get this aircraft right, and we wanted to preserve it so we could fly it, operate it, and demonstrate it for all these veterans out here, but for also the young generation that's going to come after us and is going to have to maintain this.
Can you tell the story about the young lady that was part of your team?
Yeah, we actually have, you guys will remember Amy. Amy was going through A&P school and came out, and she worked with us. And Jim Reynolds kidded her. She spent so much time in the aft fuselage that she changed her zip code to the back end of the airplane. But anyway, Amy went on. She got her A&P. And
what's A&P?
She got her airframe and power plant certificate. She went to work for a couple of aircraft companies, and now she's actually a leader at GE CFMI, overhauling and doing field maintenance on a CFM56 for Southwest Airlines. So, great story right there.
So, how long did this process take? When did you start working on this airplane, and what kind of shape was it in?
Well, we started in 2010. I think it was May of 2010. Yeah. When we started opening her up just to assess it, we filled two garbage cans full of birds' nests and feathers and all that ephemera from all those years up in Billings, Montana. You know, and every time we'd clean something, I mean, Tim up there, how long did it take you clean that nose out? I mean, I'd shake my head and I'm like, oh boy, it's another 6 months. And it just went on and on and on. But we fixed everything. We think we got it all fixed right so that we don't have to go back and do a lot of this stuff, and we've preserved this for...
Where's the money come from, and how much?
Well, you know, I've asked that a lot. Where's that money come from? But I'll just tell you, to keep a team like this, one of the things we said, we had to make it fun, and we have to have a goal. So we've always made it fun. We've always had breakfast for the team. Lunch for the team is a team lunch. David right there, I can tell you, 1 year I did the numbers, he spent $1,100 in a year just buying breakfast burritos for this team. And he always made, we always had food, we always had fun. And Jim Reynolds, I mean, I think he needs a new calculator because he's run out of digits, but it's somewhere north of 900 grand that we've put into this thing. Yeah. And there's in excess of 20,000 man hours. And this is Saturday, Sunday, a lot of Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, from this team right here. Actually, I quit counting at 20,000.
So now, you three gentlemen flew this airplane in combat. What was this mission?
They flew. I was a ground guy.
You were the ground guy. Thank you, Scott. What was the mission of this airplane in Southeast Asia, and where were you?
We flew out of Nakhon Thailand. Everybody called it NKP or Naked Fanny. And it was right on along the Mekong River on the border of Laos and Thailand. When we got over there, we got there in 69, Gus and I did, and they did not let anybody know what was up there. It was supposedly a civic actions base that we were working with the Thais, teaching them how to fly and doing things like that, working with the local people. They would not allow any news media on the base at all.
So it was totally secret base.
It was. And so being right on the border like that, our missions, we would take off. By the time you got gear up and flaps up and made a turn, you were over the Mekong River and over Laos. So that's how close we were to Laos. And our missions were all-night missions over Laos. Southern Laos interdicting the Ho Chi Minh Trail. We called it Barrel Roll, and then Steel Tiger. Barrel Roll was up north, Steel Tiger was south. And in northern Laos, a lot of times it was, besides the Ho Chi Minh Trail, it was troops in contact, friendly Laotian troops or Air America folks that were in trouble, and we would support them with those missions.
Air America was CIA.
Right.
But of course, we were never in Laos.
No, we weren't there.
No, right.
I don't know why I'm here, so... Yeah.
So what he didn't tell you, though, is about the runway we had at NKP, and that's because it was us enlisted guys that would go out and pour tar in all the holes in the PSP so the props, when they reversed them, wouldn't pick up rocks and break the windshield. It was a fairly humble base. I was there a little before you guys. I was there in 66.
So how complicated was your job as an armorer and crew chief on these airplanes?
The hardest part about the job is hoping every night the guys come home. You know, we'd put 50 caliber rounds in the cans every day. The load on the airplanes depended on the mission. So if they were going north to the Plain of Jars, sometimes they carried more flares. If we were flying south, then we were putting more napalm on the airplanes or Willy Pete's or whatever. The job wasn't hard. I'm not challenging mentally. It was hard work because stuff was big and heavy and we didn't have a lot of equipment. But what we did for these guys because they were the heroes.
About how many of these airplanes were there performing these missions? How many A-26s?
In 66 and 7, I think we had 8 on station at any one time, maybe 9 if we were lucky.
Yeah, we had 15 when we were there in 69.
And did you generally fly every night? What were the schedules? How much did you fly?
The schedule was you would do 3 weeks on, 1 week off. We called it combat time off. So crews would be scheduled. There wasn't, the only way you knew it was Sunday was the little date on your watch turned red because we flew 3 weeks in a row and then we'd have a week off. Most guys would jump on a C-130 and go down to Bangkok for a week and then come back. But the schedule was you were scheduled to go every night. Our routine was you'd go into operations as the sun was going down after you had dinner or whatever and get your intel briefing and then go out and fly. And the missions were scheduled all night long. There were 2 ship formations. And then when everybody came back, during the daytime, we had very few daytime missions, if at all, but it was all night. And you would just plan your schedule. You would flip-flop your schedule from day to night as far as when you were up.